Good morning. The time is 8 o'clock. It is August 19th, and this is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. The Telluride Watch reports that former Ouray Mayor Pam Larson will again run for the position after serving the remaining term of former City Councilor Gary Hansen. Hansen passed away in early July after a battle with cancer. According to the Watch, current Mayor Bob Risch doesn't plan on running again, and no other candidates had entered the race as of yesterday. Larson served as mayor for Ouray for 6 years prior to 2009, and as city councilor before that. According to the Watch, candidates can still submit petitions to run for Ouray mayor through August 26th. The Watch also reports that Montrose County commissioners are considering a second fixed-based operator at the Montrose Regional Airport. According to the paper, an East Coast business that hasn't yet been named requested that the county consider the project and has asked to submit a request for approval. The county could decide on that project by October. Commissioner Gary Ellis wouldn't name the business in question, but did say the county had responded to a query from a private business, adding that the county is always open to expanding business at the airport. Commissioner Ron Henderson said recruiting another fixed-base operator at the airport would be in line with the wishes of Montrose County taxpayers and would better position the airport as a driver of the area's tourism industry. According to the Watch, the airport is currently operating with a deficit, and the new operator could help recoup some of those losses and cover expenses. The Denver Post reports the Colorado State Patrol has been ordered to pay around $768,000 in back pay and lost forward pay to a former patrol captain after he was denied from being rehired because he is gay. A state senior administrative judge said in a formal opinion that State Patrol Captain Brett Williams had suffered under the patrol's discrimination and would continue to suffer. The judge praised Williams' dedication and service. The Post reports that Williams left the patrol in 2010 to become a helicopter pilot, but reapplied for his position a few months later. During a polygraph test that's required for rejoining the patrol, the test administrator asked a question that forced Williams to reveal he was gay. In a previous ruling, State Administration Law Judge Mary McClatchy said that the patrol had violated its own hiring standards by using that polygraph test as the grounds for not rehiring Williams. Those standards say such a test can't be the sole standard in a hiring decision. McClatchy's latest ruling stated that Williams' career had essentially been ruined after her last ruling and noted that the publicity surrounding the case would continue to harm Williams' employment prospects. The Bureau of Land Management is winding down 2 years of a discussion on a long-term management plan for the Dominguez-Escalante National Conservation Area. Two Fridays ago, I joined a group of area environmentalists and conservationists for a canoe trip meets resource discussion down the lower Gunnison River.
You grab a hold of the rope, lift the canoe up over the edge, and let it roll.
Our shuttle driver, Marty, helps us unload as we gear up for a day trip from Bridgeport to Whitewater.
We might get a little water later on this afternoon.
We'll be traveling down a river corridor with rich riparian habitat, home to a fair amount of the protected Colorado hookless cactus, a population of desert bighorn sheep, and other unique wildlife and vegetation. Private agricultural lands also stretch along the riverbanks.
So we're sort of putting in along here, so that's private property across from us. And then we'll make this turn.
Janice Shepherd with the preservation group Great Old Broads for Wilderness shows me her hand-drawn map of the river. This NCA is one of just 16 across the nation and three in Colorado. Encompassing nearly 210,000 acres, it's a mixed bag of state, federal, and privately owned lands. NCAs are unique in the world of public lands management. They're a multi-use system where sensitive biological resources are just as valuable as grazing rights, hunting and sports shooting access, primitive recreation, and cultural landmarks. The BLM recently said it would keep taking public comments on its draft resource management plan for this area through September 23rd. When it's adopted, that RMP will replace two separate plans from the late 80s that the NCA has been working under since it was designated in 2009.
I've been working on this plan since I started.
Andy Windsor is the BLM's outdoor recreation planner for the NCA. He says BLM plans are usually either focused on developing or conserving natural resources, but not so with this one.
In this plan, we tried to come up with a little different approach, and what we came up with was kind of a management approach with emphasis.
He explains a few of the proposed options for this new management plan.
One of our alternatives focuses on a natural processes kind of management style, and so we wouldn't be doing a lot of active stuff. One alternative, very conservation-minded with a lot of active management of resources. And then one of our alternatives was very recreation-focused.
With all those ideas in mind, the BLM developed its preferred alternative, which couples what the agency calls ambitious conservation goals for vegetation and habitat with an increase in acres available for grazing. But really the gist of the preferred plan is that it's a balance between four other proposals, some primarily conservation-minded, some focused on recreation access.
Right at the end of that bench is where we're going to actually pull up our canoes and get out. There's a campsite. We're going to get out and check out that campground and talk about some of the recreational issues on the river. And there's also the old narrow gauge railroad remnants in that area, so we can kind of talk cultural. And there's also some hookless cactus, so we can talk about endangered species, too.
And some tammies.
Joe Newhoff of the Colorado Canyons Association is our de facto guide for the trip. Most of the day's conversations had across canoes are focused on those issues he mentions. And our 18-person group is comprised mostly of people concerned with maintaining the pristine feel of the NCA, environmental stewards from groups like the Conservation Center, Western Colorado Congress, and Conservation Colorado.
The riparian corridor along the river here is by far the biggest and best developed riparian resource in the whole NCA.
Steve Boyle is on the NCA's Resource Advisory Council.
As you go through along here, you'll notice various ways that the riparian resource down here has been impacted through the years by human activity.
He says the drying out of the West has also had its effects on the NCA, pointing to the tall cottonwoods that give boaters one of the few shaded campsites along this stretch of the Gunnison.
Cottonwoods need to have their feet wet all of the time. There's no way that cottonwood trees are ever going to germinate again here, because we don't have floods anymore.
He says areas like these are essentially doomed without human management. While most everybody on this trip agrees that conservation is key, they're also aware that managing such a large area with such a diversity of uses and resources is all about balance. Newhoff gives an example.
If you want to see hookless cactus, this is a good place to go walk up and see it. You know, if they're going to do any type of trail building or activity out here for recreation, they need to consider what the impacts are on the Colorado hookless cactus. So just an example of this is kind of cool because you can see the layers coming together right here a little bit.
According to Katie Steele, the chair for the NCA's Resource Advisory Council, the public has been much more involved with the future of these lands than they normally are. She says public meetings over the past 2 years, the kind that usually draw around five people, have seen 40 or 50 show up. A Friends of Northern Dolores group is trying to establish an NCA for that area as well. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick. And the Dominguez-Escalante Resource Advisory Council is hosting two last meetings to take public comments on the management plan for the area. The council will meet today at the Mesa County Courthouse Annex in Grand Junction from 3 to 6 p.m., and at the same time on Wednesday at the Bill Heddles Recreation Center in Delta. Crews with the BLM and the U.S. Forest Service continued to fight the Frank's Bench fire yesterday, burning on Uncompahgre National Forest lands. The fire was discovered on Friday. Officials say it was caused by a lightning storm from earlier last week. That fire has since grown to 35 acres and is located 3 miles south of Uranium Road and about 5 miles south and west of Divide Forks Campground and ATV Complex. One BLM engine and two fire teams were reportedly on the scene as of yesterday. And the USA Pro Challenge kicks off in Aspen and Snowmass Village today. More than 120 riders will compete in the third edition of the race. Many explored the Roaring Fork Valley on two wheels this weekend, and all of them were within arm's reach during Saturday's opening ceremonies. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher has more.
Everybody get up. One of the summer's top songs blasted from speakers as last year's dominating team struts down a red carpet. There's a crowd gathered in Snowmass's base village. Spectators make way, smartphones held aloft for recording, as the riders from the Boulder team Garmin Sharp head for the stage. Garmin effectively took control of the race in 2012, and a memorable moment was when Tom Danielson came screaming into Aspen to win an early stage.
Our team won the race last year with Christian Vandeveld to my left. He's a defending champion. We have a stacked team to wreak some havoc and get up on the top step in the podium this weekend.
Danielson is fresh from a win at the Tour of Utah. There's also a lot of buzz over the presence of this year's Tour de France champion, British national Chris Froome. Froome and his powerful Team Sky will be competing. On Saturday, well-known cycling journalist Paul Sherwin chose to interview Froome in Swahili.
Jambo sana. Weko mzima.
Mzima, lakini siko hapa. Sitajaribu kufanya ile sitaweza kufanya.
He's going to try and do what he can in this bike race because I think he wants to panda juu ya mlima. Sindio?
Sitajaribu tu. Sitajaribu.
He's going to try and get up to the top of the mountains. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
Despite his Tour de France title, Froome, who grew up in Kenya and South Africa, has said he's not sure he can win the race here. Like many riders, he's adjusting to the altitude. Young Slovak phenom Peter Sagan arrived early in Aspen specifically to get used to the elevation. Yesterday, he told reporters,
"Yeah, I was here 2 weeks before the race, and after 3 days, I understand it's very hard racing here, and I don't know. I hope I prepared good."
Boulder resident TJ Van Garderen placed a close second in last year's Pro Challenge. He wants a different result this year.
We're definitely taking this race seriously. We brought a really strong team. We'd like to win it. That's the goal.
Van Garderen is married to Aspen local and former pro cyclist Jessica Phillips, and he says they may spend more time here. The couple now has a newborn baby. Van Garderen's plans for the next week will be determined by his tenacity and strength, matched against some of the best cyclists in the world. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Elise Thatcher.
And thanks for tuning in this morning. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.